The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Want to stream cognitive dissonance to your Android or iPhone? Buy the app. Go to dissonancepod.com and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. Each purchase helps support the show. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 233 of Cognitive Dissonance, and this, I believe, is a midweek show, Cecil.
It is. It's a midweek show. We had 5 Mondays for June, so we only needed to do 1 midweek show. So this is it. We waited until then. We fucking procrastinated until the end of the month to do a midweek show. It was nice just doing 1 show a week, though, I will admit. That's some nice shit.
It was.
It's refreshing.
You know, as somebody, I feel like the 1 show a week format is less work.
You feel like it, but you wouldn't know.
I objectively, I can identify that because that's a numerically lower value.
Yeah. Common Core didn't fail you, man.
that must, in fact, yield a lower workload.
Sure.
Of course, my workload barely nudges. In fact, for this episode, because of our schedule alignment, I didn't even do the notes.
Yeah, no. Well.
Yeah. So that worked out for me. Not so much... You know, not so much for other parties in our organization, you know, but it's nice to see that we can all pull together as a team.
As a team.
When one of us.
And I'm just saying, folks, this month's Patreon, none of it goes to Tom.
Okay? Oh, that's fair. No.
So this is the month to donate, folks. If you want quality entertainment brought to you by a qualified individual, this is your month to donate.
I feel like my performance review this year is not going to go as well as I expected.
Oh.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some. Miniature American flags for others.
Yay! So this first story... Well, why are we leading with this story?
I don't know.
This is the worst opening. Okay, this story comes from alternate.org. 10-year-old rape victim denied abortion. Why did I laugh? The horrific realities of abortion bans.
And this isn't just the 10-year-old. This is a lot of different stories of, like, horror stories because people can't get abortions.
Right. And that's really the thrust of the article, is that these laws don't actually lead to, you know, a reduction in abortion rates. They just, you know, they cause horrifying side effects, basically.
Yep.
Because,
yep.
You know, women are still going to seek – human beings have proven that we are endlessly inventive when it comes to getting the things we want or we need in order to push forward to the next thing, right?
Sure.
You know, like – making drugs illegal did not get rid of the drugs. Making abortions illegal does not get rid of the abortions.
No, never does. It never does.
You know, making murder illegal didn't stop murder. It's human beings are endlessly inventive. And unfortunately, when you've got a medical procedure like this, the stories that come out of that inevitable drive to, you know, you see a problem, you solve a fucking problem. But sometimes we don't solve the problem real well. You know, the opening story is about a 10-year-old, you don't have to say it, a 10-year-old rape victim. Of course she's a fucking rape victim. If she's a fucking 10-year-old who's pregnant, certainly a rape victim. Like, there's no way she could have consented to something. Who was denied an abortion? A fucking 10-year-old? And I thought, I can't think of a single circumstance where a 10-year-old should not have an abortion if she's right. pregnant, right?
No, that's exactly it. That's, yeah, when are you like, oh, hey, let's fucking get down the wine glasses and toast this thing.
Right, right. Oh, go on your registry. It's all Pokemon cards.
Exactly. If you buy her toys, though, at this age, she could just hand them down to the kid. And that's not a long wait either, Tom.
I know.
The toy box will wait.
I know.
The toys may still be in style at that point.
The batteries could still be fresh.
If you get Legos, though, they're always in style.
Yeah, because they're fucking stuck to the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
That's why they're fucking in style, goddamn fucking landmines in your house. Fucking
You know, somebody on our page posted something about, well, why not just go to another state? And, you know, going to another state is not always possible. And in the article, it says 58% of women in Georgia live in a county with no abortion provider. 58% of women. That's, you know, I mean, it's more than half
right.
of women in that state don't have access to abortions in their county.
That's amazing. And, you know, we're so casual about, as like middle class people, I think we're very blasé in America and very casual about things like, we'll just go to another state. We'll just travel a little.
Yeah, just go. Yeah.
You know, just hop in the car and drive if you need it. If it's that important, it's worth a tank of gas. But, you know, there's so many people who don't have a car. They don't have access to a car. No one in their family has a car. That's a reality for a lot of people, in America. There are a tremendous number of people in America who've never left the city that they live in.
Sure.
Much less the county, much less the state. Nor do a lot of people, unfortunately, have the financial means or the educational wherewithal to seek out help outside of what's in their immediate vicinity, especially when they're in desperate times. You know, a lot of this assumes, I'll just go on the computer. Well, maybe you don't have one.
Right.
And I'll get on the internet. Well, maybe you don't have internet. Not everybody has these luxuries. And I'll find out who else close to me has an abortion clinic, and then I'll hop in the car and I'll drive there. Could I do that? Sure. Could you do that? No problem. Could somebody living in poverty do that? No.
When you're in poverty and you have a shitty car that really only can get you back and forth to work reliably, that's kind of your only hope.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just get in your car and say, oh, well, I'm just going to go to the next state in this car that barely takes me to and from my place of employment. You can't expect people to do that. And you know, the other thing that I think is really disturbing is that we are creating these horrors by making these laws. You know, if you were just to say, okay, we're going to put in abortion clinics, give it so people have ready access to abortion procedures whenever they need them, your abortion rates for these horrific things that happen, whether it's the mother who's getting into massive trouble because she's taking some crazy amount of drugs to try to abort the fetus, or trying to jump down stairs and land on her goddamn stomach like a slip and slide,
right.
or like, God. You know, all the horrific things that happen because of this. The baby, you know, partially dies or gets fucked up really hardcore, or like she partially has it and she has to throw it in a dumpster. All those things can be avoided. All the horrors that we're making can be avoided by just providing good medical care. And then it's just a lump of cells when it happens. Then it's just a tiny lump of cells, and there's not a fucking, there's no moral quandary about late term abortions because it's just a tiny lump of cells. We do the same thing. We talk about this when we talk about euthanasia. We do the same thing. Yeah, you can commit suicide, but you got to do it in a really scary fucking way. You got to stick a fucking gun up your nostrils in order to commit suicide.
Right. Yep.
The same thing goes
exactly.
with this. Yeah, you can get an abortion, but it's really fucking scary.
Yeah,
you could fucking stick a goddamn, you know, coat hanger in there like you're playing the fucking crane game. But, you know, that's not a fucking preferred way to do it.
Oh, shit. like the claw just, like, reaches in and just slips and reaches in and slips.
They just take the uterus right out of there. And do we really want, you know, the other thing, too, is what's the other alternative? Well, we force them to have the kid. Well, yeah, what we want is grudging parents. Yeah. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody like your wife and they go to clean the kitchen and they slam every goddamn thing in the kitchen when they're doing it? Could you imagine raising a kid and your entire time you're pissed off? Yeah. So everything is like, I'm mad. I'm going to shake this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Do you want that? Do you want the child to even grow up in that environment? The thing is none of these people are rushing to stop children from being with parents that aren't going to love them or being in poor homes with no help. They're not rushing for that. They're just rushing to stop the abortions.
You know, and these are the same assholes who, by and large, there's a huge correlation. You know, these are the same people who put roadblocks in place for contraception. The one fucking thing. If you don't like abortions, then you should be so fucking pro-contraception.
No kidding.
Be fucking ridiculous.
No,
you should be fucking shooting fucking rubbers out of a goddamn t-shirt cannon mounted to your car.
They float down when you do that, too. They just float.
It's just constantly like out of that thing. Just fucking rubbers just floating in the air nonstop.
Right.
You should be coating people in actual rubber at all times. But instead, these same people are like, contraception is against God's law and, you know, just promotes wanton sexuality and we should just do abstinence. And then also so we won't teach you anything about sex or sexuality or the reality of how people can actually avoid, you know, some of these consequences of sexual action. And then, you know, later, when they inevitably get pregnant, we'll fucking slut shame them and abuse them and make them fucking get this fucking, you know, have this kid and then maybe give it up for adoption, which is fucking tragic and sad and nobody fucking wins there. Or, you know, if they don't give it up for adoption, fine, then, you know, you can raise it, but you have to hate it just a little bit all the time.
Exactly.
Like, well, fucking why? Why? This is none of this is a good.
And then they put in weird fucking laws that it's, you have to fill out a form, and if you fill out this form and you say you're not feeling bad, they slap you until you say you're feeling bad about it.
Right.
Or they make you put in your, like, iCalendar when it's going to graduate high school, and it's a reminder for you that you have to remember. Okay. Remember, it could have graduated high school today.
Yeah, right. It's just like, okay,
it would have been 5 today or whatever the fuck.
But they should put in, like, the real reminders of, like, raising kids. It's like, oh, your fucking iCalendar. Like, you're sitting around in your house that doesn't have kids in it, and you're fucking, you know, phone goes off and you look down, it's a calendar reminder and it's like, oh, your kid's not puking on your couch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that. I guess nobody's
puking on
your couch.
Your kid doesn't have a 104 degree fever today.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's like, nice.
Hey, you can go to work and give that big presentation on 8 actual hours of sleep. Oh, wow. That's great. That's amazing. Your phone should give you all kinds of fucking reminders about like what it's like to have kids and what it's also like not to have kids. Like, oh, you know, it's Christmas. Buy yourself something nice. You've got the money. I guess what I'm saying is kids suck.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't know.
This is why my kids hopefully will never listen to the show. I love my kids-ish. It's terrible.
It seems such a shame that George, for all his brains, could never accept the fact of God having any part in the universe.
I'm so thankful that neither of you ever got to questioning things the way he did.
This story is from The Guardian. Charleston shooting, florist Debbie Dills hailed a hero after tailing...
Debbie Dills.
Debbie Dills tailing. That's a different movie.
Tailing is a new term I haven't heard before, Tom.
Well, it involves pretty much what you expect.
It sounds hypersexual, though.
You stick a wand with a little bit of horsehair up there. when you mount, she has to whinny.
Oh, she has to wear a bit the whole time. There's a bag of oats she's got to stick her face in.
It's just a little tailing. Don't worry about it. God.
You want a sugar cube, girl? You want a sugar cube? How about a carrot?
She just every now and again reaches around and randomly bites you because
horses are assholes.
Oh, they totally are, man.
If you fall off mid-stroke, you could be paralyzed.
Oh, God.
Oh. Charleston shooting. Florist Debbie Dills hailed a hero after tailing suspects' cars. So, after the asshole shot up the fucking church and then, you know, drove away, killed 9 people, drove away, got a couple of 100 miles away, fucking Debbie Dills followed this guy because she had a real bad feeling about it. And then later, their fucking quote is fucking amazeballs.
That's the only part of this that's worth talking about.
I know,
about.
So I got to read this quote. This quote is so great. "It was God who made this happen," she said of the credit she received. "It don't have nothing to do with Debbie. It don't have nothing to do with Todd. It's all about him. He answered the prayers of those people who were praying in Charleston last night, who were holding hands and praying."
He raised 9 people from the dead?
Yeah. Do you think that while the shooting was going on, none of the people in that church were praying for their lives?
Yeah, right, right.
There are people in a church being shot at.
Yeah.
It is almost fucking certain that they were praying for their lives. Oh, God, no. God's just like, well, I gotta wait till he gets away so I can give his license plate number to Debbie.
If I didn't make bad things happen, then we wouldn't know that I was the cause of the bad things being rectified. Come on now. It's use like, your nugget.
It's like this. You ever have like one of them real bad twister storms? Think y'all call them tornadoes. You know, rips you, kills like everybody in the whole mobile park. But then later, I put a little rainbow out there just so you know I says hi.
I saved Mrs. Wilson's dog. I like that God made it happen. God is the one who helped tail the car. What did he spend his early years as a private eye? I learned how to not be noticed when I'm tailing people now, Debbie. Watch what I'm doing here.
Now, it's even easier when you don't even exist.
Yeah. You see, because I'm invisible.
I got Wonder Woman's car. Like, whatever, man.
Oh, yeah. What a dumbass car. She'd be floating in the air. She was crazy. She'd be in her jet, and you'd just be like, what the fuck? They could see you, right? You're what? Not invisible. What? The jet is invisible. Also, you fly really weird because you're sitting down. You're not like Superman.
Wouldn't you, if you were designing an invisible jet, first of all, that seems really hard to draw the blueprints for. But if you were designing
it. Also seems really hard to put together.
How many times have you been building something and you drop a fucking screw and it's
you
like super
hard to
find?
You have to put it together in like a pink viscous fluid, you know, just so you could put all the pieces together.
Maybe building an invisible jet is like painting your ceiling with that purple white paint. It goes on purple.
Oh, yeah.
And then as
then
it dries,
turns light. Exactly.
Yeah, but this is like it goes on metal, but then as it dries, it turns
invisible. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just invisible paint. We're probably being ridiculous. We're overthinking this.
We're overthinking Wonder Woman's mode of transportation. Maybe, Tom. Maybe. Maybe.
I'm not often accused of overthinking. Yeah. I will say, too, like, of her quote, why did she refer to herself in the third person?
I don't know.
Dude, that's
she
so
sounds
weird.
Like fucking Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Bob Dole doesn't follow people around.
You're all sick!
Oh, be nice!
Oh, my son doesn't stand a chance. The whole world's gone gay! Oh, my God, what's happening now?
We work hard. We play hard.
This story is terrific. This comes from The Independent. Pastor Rick Scarborough is willing to be burned to death to oppose gay marriage.
This is Rick Scarborough on National Emergency Coalition Show.
But this is a podcast, by the way, linked to Staying True to America's National Destiny.
Stand. So this is only 44 seconds of Rick Scarborough.
These folks send in their activists with their lawyers when they find there's a Christian who's principled and not willing to participate in any kind of sanctioning of same-sex marriage, and they sue them until they go into bankruptcy. In fact, the New Mexico Supreme Court, in ruling on the case there, said that participating in the sanctioning of same-sex marriage was the, quote, price of citizenship in the United States. So we know what's coming, and we're simply being preemptive and saying, no matter what the cost. We understand and we weigh the cost. We are not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And if necessary, we will burn.
Okay, buddy.
They're going to burn, Tom.
Yeah, but the best part is the caveat of if necessary.
Right.
Nobody is suggesting that that's necessary.
Well, no, he also said this clip cuts off, but he also said he would fight a Tyrannosaurus Rex, too.
He would
fight a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He would punch an asteroid right out of the sky.
Right? I would eat a live dodo.
Sure.
And other things that will never fucking happen.
He would eat a million loaves of invisible bread.
It's so insane. You know, it's like, you don't have to be set on fire because there's literally nobody's going to set you on. Is he going to immolate himself like a fucking monk? It's not like there's a tank rolling down Tiananmen Square to stand in front of here, right? This is an issue of, tolerance and what we're going to allow to happen in our culture. There's no oppressive regime offering violence as the other alternative. So, you know, and that's why it's totally incomparable to the civil rights movement on the opposition side, right? Because the civil rights movement, like, if you were a black person and you were doing like a sit-in at a lunch counter or you were protesting, the cops would fucking show up with fucking fire hoses and dogs and bad attitudes, and they'd fucking whoop your ass and then throw you in jail. So you had to be willing, in order to be on that side of the argument, you had to be willing to endure a certain amount of fear and danger and possibly physical duress, right? But there's nothing comparable here. If gay people get married and you really aggressively oppose that, I still don't understand how you can be like, I'm willing to be set on fire to oppose that.
I'm willing to ride a luck dragon.
Right?
If there's a luck dragon, I will ride it.
You find me a luck dragon, I will ride it without even a saddle.
I will duel the six-fingered man to the death.
Right.
If you find him.
Right.
All of these things, none of these things will happen.
Yeah.
He just can make anything up. And he can make up... They make up all these things constantly to show, look at how far I'm willing to go. Look at how staunch my stance is on this particular issue. You cannot move me even with the threat of death. Don't pay attention that no one is threatening death, that no one even cares that you don't like gay marriage.
I'll tell you when
I'll believe it. You're willing to incite the people who follow you by saying, look at how far I'm willing to go. Look at how great I am. I'm willing to put my life on the line even though there's no risk of my life whatsoever.
But here's when I'll believe it, Cecil, because there is a scenario where I would believe this. I just thought, if a gay couple goes to a bakery and they order a cake that has, you know, two dudes on the top of it or something, and the baker sets himself on fire in front of his bakery in protest, I would be like, okay, all right. You know, that's a guy who was true to his word.
Okay, you know? I guess. But I would also say that guy's kind of unhinged.
Yeah, I would say it's totally unnecessary to accomplish nothing.
It seems like what you'd want to do is go to a trade school and learn a new trade.
Right? Just be like, well, I guess cakes aren't going to be my thing.
Yeah.
You know? Or just rename your shop, like Bigoted Cakes.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay away from cakes. I'm not going to start a florist shop. I'm going to stay away from photography. And I'm going to stay out of the wedding chapel business.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a job doing something that's completely non-wedding related.
Couldn't you just decorate your bigot shop with symbols of bigotry? Like, couldn't you just have, like, you know, Bibles in there or something?
Yeah.
You know? Just something really offensive.
A long black cock, long black cock. A long black cock, long black cock.
This story comes from the Daily Dot. Muslims are accusing a gymnast of showing the shape of her vagina in her leotard. So there's a Malaysian gymnast. I'm as surprised as you. Who competed? Her name is Farah Ann Abdul Hadi. She competed at the 2015 Southeast Asian Games. And she wore, like, the thing that you wear, the leotard thing that all gymnasts, like female gymnasts, wear the fucking leotard thing, and male gymnasts wear the fucking unitard thing, and that's a thing. Are they a singlet? Is it a singlet or a unitard?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Weren't you a fucking gymnast?
Yeah.
Never?
I was the mat that they landed on.
I'm like the entire foam pit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like what they lay out when the pole vaulters or whatever come out right to land in. Like, that big cushy thing they land on. That's me.
I'm like, you know, like when the motocross guys are practicing a stunt and they land. Like I'm like the giant inflatable exactly pillow thing or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're like, I will just get one of Tom. Yeah, we can run three courses today. Great.
All you got to is buy him a six pack and tell him to lay down.
Yeah. I'll make it halfway through there and I'll be laying down anyway. Yeah. So according to the Malay Mail Online, Muslims are taking to various social media channels and they're criticizing Hadi for showing her aurat. That's a new word I'm going to use frequently.
Yeah. That's a brand of car. It's the Mitsubishi Aurat, isn't that?
So, you know, it turns out, I guess, Muslims hate camel toe. Yeah. That's it.
Which is crazy, because doesn't it come from Arab countries, camel toe?
It's named appropriately.
It is.
Come on.
They're mad at her vagymnast, is what they're mad at. I like that they call. I had to look up what a rot is, and it says roughly translated as genitalia or other parts that should be covered. But they also on Wikipedia they call it intimate parts.
Ooh.
So you're intimate. Are we talking about like my duodenum? Is that an intimate part?
Well, if you're a Muslim woman, aren't your intimate parts literally everything but
it's
your
like
two eyes?
It's all of the parts. It's all of the parts except for the eyes, right, and the eyelashes and the eyebrows. That's it.
And actually, if you're wearing one of those like super burkas that has like the fucking...
Oh, yeah, the veil or whatever in there?
Yeah, where you don't even get to see the eyes, so you've gone full Casper.
Yeah. It's... What do they want her to do?
Dude, I don't know.
Wear some sort of full burka thing? Then she'd really look like a ninja.
She would have
doing
to
doing flips and shit. She'd be like doing all kinds of flips in that thing. If she doesn't have a katana strap to her back,
if she sticks the landing and like throws fucking shuriken out,
exactly,
like and like nails two of the judges.
She like uses the grappling hook as part of her routine.
It's just like the floor routine has nunchucks in it now.
She kills one of the judges from behind, throws a smoke bomb and disappears.
It disappears at the end of her routine.
Everybody's looking around holding numbers like,
oh, man.
I gave you a 10. I gave you a 10. Please don't kill
don't
me.
Kill.
Please don't kill
I
me. Please don't kill me.
You know, I was at the pool the other day, Cecil. I went to a water park with my family, and there were a couple of women at the pool who were wearing the fucking burkini thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was going to take a picture, but that struck me as horrifyingly
bad taste.
That's
a surreptitious photo of burkinis.
Yeah.
Seems like a thing that you could get beat up for.
I feel like that's probably a truth. Yeah. So I did not. And it also just seemed like it was a horrifyingly bad taste to just.
Oh, yeah. It would have been a terrible case.
You know.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like, how are you having any fun? First of all, going swimming is the only time it's okay to walk around in your fucking underpants outside.
Right.
And everybody's just cool with it today. It's like all of a sudden we're just okay. Everybody's just going to wear their underpants today. And you're just like, cool, underpants day, you know, like it's for no reason. Here's me and my underpants. Oh, yeah, and we're wet, so it's fine. But these poor, like, they're, it's fucking hot. It's like 85 degrees out. It's fucking humid as shit. They're covered fucking head to toe, dude. And they're in the water, but it's like it looks super fucking heavy. Like, it's all made out of cotton, so I was just like, that's got to soak up all the water.
Yeah.
All
gotta
the water.
Got to be a good swimmer.
Yeah, man. I mean, they were in the kids' pool. They were, like, waiting around in the kids' pool because I think that's an issue. Like, I think if you went into a pool where you had to swim, you'd be like, I'm fucking swimming in blue jeans, man. That's not a thing.
I like the response, though. I guess the minister for youth and sports, it says, I'm going to read the tweet. It says, in gymnastics, Farah wowed the judges and brought home the gold. In her deeds, only the Almighty judges her, not you. Leave our athletes alone. Basically calling them. And then there's one point where somebody's calling them like a pervert. Like, you're the one who's bringing this to the table.
Yeah,
it's not anybody else. It's you who's bringing these dirty thoughts to the table. She's just a girl.
Yep.
You're the one who's looking at her lustfully.
Yep.
It's not her who's dressing in a way that's somehow tempting.
Well, and her response, I thought, was actually quite poetic and awesome. She said, empty cans make the most noise.
I like that, too.
Dude, yeah. That's fucking awesome. That's a shut the fuck up moment, if ever there was one. Story's so fucking pathetic. This story comes from the Friendly Atheist blogs at Patheos. Christian evangelist raising money to give Bibles to starving, homeless Iraqi refugees.
Huh.
So, fucking Christian evangelist and Repent America director Michael Markievicz is raising money because he's going to send some fucking Bibles to Iraq. His project is called Bibles for Iraq. Right?
So you know exactly what they're getting.
Right? He's going to fucking ship him some Bibles. So a bunch
it's
of
not,
fucking...
It's not Bibles and sandwiches for Iraq.
Right. Yeah. It's not like Bibles and tents.
Yeah.
You know, or Bibles and first aid kits. It's just fucking Bibles. Like, here's your Bibble, guys. Fucking, I would... If I'm fucking starving and in a fucking shitty refugee camp and struggling to fucking keep myself and my family alive, I'd burn that fucking book out of spite.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would burn it even though I don't need to burn anything in the fucking hot desert for heat.
And also, you're looking at, in Iraq, you're looking at a place that could feasibly, you know, these people could wind up being, again, overrun by Islamic militants. What happens if you have a Bible on you?
Oh,
what
right.
if you leave the camp with that Bible and you happen to have it with you?
Dude, nightmare fuel.
And exactly.
And this fucking asshole even acknowledges, he says... Quote, this is his fucking quote. As most refugees are illiterate. And then who cares what else he says? So here's homeless, starving people receiving a book they can't read that puts their lives in increased danger. You're not even sending them something useless. You're actually making their lives objectively worse by sending them this
no
book.
No kidding.
You may as well send them a picture of fucking your running water.
Yeah.
You know, or you're fucking. I should just take him a fucking picture of myself, like a fucking selfie, like eating fucking chicken wings. And be like, I'm right. not even hungry, is the caption.
Or like your peaceful street at night. It's just a peaceful street. No, there's no explosions right now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, what's that I hear? Nothing but the sounds of beautiful nature and the scenic.
Yeah.
Like, how much more could you fucking rub it in their face? Be like. I'm sending you this Bible. I will have you know I filled the fourth bedroom of my house full of Bibles. You know why? It's an extra bedroom. We all get one, exactly. And there's an extra we don't even fucking use.
We don't even use it.
It's just a fucking superfluous goddamn room. How's your fucking tent in the desert?
Yeah.
Fucking what an asshole
How's
thing to
How's your rations?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't even understand how you can do this. You give them a bunch of Bibles. You're not even giving them, like, Ziploc bags filled with hope and love of the Lord.
That and a thing of Smarties.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Smarties.
Can't you? This is
worse.
They
all get a free lollipop like they're visiting the dentist.
This is worse than, like, the candy drives for soldiers after Halloween where everybody donates the worst candy. Where it's like, oh... Yeah, here's fucking like a bunch of dum-dums and then those weird peanut butter things that nobody eats. You know what I'm talking about? Those fucking red and orange things.
Oh, great. Here's waxy chocolate.
Yeah.
I love that.
Want to contact the guys? Go to dissonancepod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money... Take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
So this story comes from the Barrier Breaker blog at Patheos. Westboro Baptist Church says God sent the Charleston shooter and plans to picket the funeral.
Yeah, they are picketing the funeral, but I think the media got it wrong. They're going down there with signs that say "God hates Confederate flags." I think. is what it's gonna say. Okay, I'm kidding. They're not doing
God. That. It's just like this is just a terrible group of human beings. That's just what it is. They've got a video though of like
somebody doing the Charleston.
Like they're trying to be like that's as mean. That's about as mean as you can get. And then they've got a sign with fucking bloody handprints, you know, it says God sent the killer.
That really is. I mean, they are degenerates, but the Charleston thing and the music, I'm going to play a clip of the music here. It's a Vine, so that's the music that plays with it. It's fucking just, we've done some really low-class jokes.
Oh, yeah.
We've done some really low-brow things.
Yeah, we'll do more.
And we'll continue to do them, but I can't look at this. The thing is, I can look at this and say, maybe somebody wanted to try to be funny, but I can't find any humor in that right now.
It's so mean. And then what they say, like, in one of their fucking tweets is the blood of the Charleston shooting dead is on Hillary Clinton's hands? What the fuck does Hillary Clinton have to do with anything?
Well, that's how she stays young. She takes the blood of all the dead people.
Just bathes in it?
She just bathes in the dead people blood. Especially anybody who's been shot by assault rifles.
Oh, my God.
She's...
oh, shit.
I do not think that this is going to go over well.
No. No, they're not going to be received with fucking open arms. Did they protest the Newtown thing? Did they do the Newtown? Do you remember that?
I thought they said they were going to and then they didn't.
Yeah. I think they would have been fucking torn limb from limb.
I think that they could get torn limb from limb. I mean, a white church goes down to say that the God sent the shooter?
Yeah.
On a racially motivated attack?
Dude.
Where is that going to play well?
Yeah. Nowhere. Man, fucking nowhere is where it's going to fucking play well. It's, you know, at some point, and I don't wish this on them because, it's their right to be assholes. But let's be super clear. They're the fucking worst excuses for quasi-human beings possible. This is mean and cruel and calculating to cause the maximum amount of emotional suffering. And there is going to come a time where they are going to become the victims of some pretty intense violence. I really do think that they're going to push the wrong dude's buttons at some point. And that shit is not going to fly.
Yeah, this is not a... Oof. It's just... The thing is, I can understand if somebody's making a joke, right? I can understand if somebody's making light of a situation. You can even make light of this situation if you do it well, if you're funny about it. And you could be distasteful about it, but they're not trying to be funny. They're trying to be mean, and there's a difference there.
Yeah,
there's a huge difference. It's not funny because I know their fucking intent, and their intent is to hurt people's feelings.
Yep, their intent is to compound suffering as much as humanly possible.
Yeah,
that's,
and they've proved that over and over and over again. They're the most degenerate people around.
Now, the concern, obviously, is if this isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper.
So this story comes from Right Wing Watch. Kevin Swanson, gay marriage will lead to the murder of Christians.
This Swanson guy, this is the same guy who likes to call gay marriage neuronic, so he's going to use that word throughout this piece. So this is Kevin Swanson, Right Wing radio host, from his show, The Swanson Affair, or whatever it's called. I don't know.
The neuronic agenda, which is growing across the United States, at least 2/3 of the states and probably all the states, are moving in that direction right now. The Supreme Court decision coming down in just a few days or maybe a week or two will be indicative as to what direction this nation will take. Whether or not Christians will be persecuted, whether Christians will be fined, whether they'll be put in jail in the next 4 or 5 years. Critical, critical issues right now affecting the Christian church. Why? Because of the rise of Nero. You say, well, what's the rise of Nero? And the rise of Nero is the rise of a ruling, governing class that is supporting the idea of homosexual marriage, which was...
Wait, so like the corporations?
Yeah.
Is that the ruling class?
The ruling class is not a bunch of gay dudes.
I love the idea that there's a secret room. It's except for it's not called a cabinet. It's a closet.
Initially supported by Nero. He's the first one in history that we know of that endorsed homosexual marriage and then went on to torch Christians. Nero is never content to just do his homo thing. He's going to burn Christians. Homosexuality is going to be in the closet, or Christians will be in the fire. I wrote an article on this that was published in a Christian newspaper in Colorado in 1992.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, dude.
I wonder if the article that he wrote is any less fucking coherent
than that statement.
Nero is never content to just do as it. Nero's dead. Super dead. We're not, like, it's not like he's going to be fucking gay cloned and then fucking made, you know, fucking emperor of America or something. He's dead, dude. He's dead. He's not fucking in charge.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I love the idea that everybody keeps saying these crazy things are going to be happening, that Christians are going to be burned and that people who are against gay marriage are going to be going through some sort of they're going to put their life on the line. And yeah. No, they're not.
It's not going to happen. No.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Well, look at the states. Look at the fucking incredible impact that gay marriage has had on the states that have it. Clearly, there's been a rise in Christian murders and burnings, right?
I know. Yeah. In all those states, there's just been
no instances.
They're like of it. Hanging people with rainbow nooses.
Long, long time ago. That was well before the homosexual majority took over. And
what? Homosexual majority?
What? Who? I don't even know what to respond to that.
When did they get a majority?
A majority where?
A majority of what?
Yeah, like a majority like in Congress? Like, where's the majority? And like a majority of the 500 plus people in Congress are now
gay? You know what it
gay?
Is? It's a majority of people don't give a fuck anymore. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's
I
a
know.
Majority of people don't give a shit what somebody else does in their goddamn bedroom.
Right. It's like, I did a thing with my body. Awesome. Do you have orange juice? Because I don't care. But I am thirsty.
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Of course, America has turned to embrace homosexuality en masse in just the last 10 years. It's the most radical moral shift of all the moral issues in America, the most radical moral shift, according to a Gallup poll that came out just a couple of days ago, the most radical shift was in the area of support for homosexuality. Why? Because Nero is out of the closet and Nero is hell-bent to burn Christians.
What is he talking about? Cecil, I don't honestly even know what he's talking about.
Nero's out of the closet.
Nero has come out of the closet and he's fucking gay and dead.
Was Nero a gay bar somewhere? I seriously, are you seriously talking about somebody who is so fucking dead that nobody fucking, people barely remember who he is?
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. To be fair, he's only been dead for 2,000 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you only know. a couple thousand years.
So he could be back anytime.
Maybe he's still good.
Maybe he's just resting his eyes.
Yeah.
And his heart. And his brain. And also turned to dust.
All the rest of his tissues. Is Nero like a gay demon? Is that what he's trying to do?
I'm Nero, and I endorse homosexual marriage. This message brought to you by Nero, long like dead emperor.
He's a gay demon with rainbow wings.
And endorse homosexual marriage. And I'm going to talk about this in a moment. Tony Campolo has finally come out in full support of Nero.
He was not in support of Nero. He's not in support of Nero. He's in support of gay marriage.
Well, that's Nero. Nero is the here's the thing. Nero is just a metaphor for gay marriage, right?
What I think they think is going to happen is you know how when sometimes the pork gets tacked on to bills where you have we're going to have a pipeline, but we're going to have to sell bacon at 50 cents a pound.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
right,
like some weird thing that gets tacked on the bill, or, oh, this is a property bill, but we also want to add a extra fine for workers in a construction zone if you hit a worker or something. There's like all this weird backhand sort of backroom deals that go on with these bills that they tack shit on. That's what he thinks is going to happen, is that they're going to pass a gay marriage bill, but they're also going to pass a tack onto it somehow. You can burn Christians and you're fine.
Well, even if you could, I still wouldn't want to.
Right.
You know, like, I think that's the other thing, is that, like, even if Cecil, there was a law that said, like, hey, man, if you want to just go burn a Christian, that's fine. I'd be like, I don't kill folks.
Yeah, I don't do this.
I don't do it especially horrifically for no reason. Yeah. So I'm going to pass. And actually, it turns out that if I'm the kind of person that kills people and would actually get pleasure out of that, I'm also not dissuaded by the law.
You have somebody tied up in your backyard. You've poured gasoline on them, and you're flipping through the law book just to see if it's legal.
Well, it says
is
in
this legal?
Page 380.
Hon, can you look this up on Google real quick? I just want to see if I can burn our neighbor alive. Is that okay? Call the police. Just dial 311. It's not an emergency.
Fine.
I can wait.
Fine.
So this is a dividing line for the good and the evil. That which is in favor of righteousness, that which is in favor of Christ, and that which is anti-Christ. It's the way the beast always works. Remember the woman riding on the beast in Revelation 17. Her cup was full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And
that kind of sounds awesome. That sounds really awesome, actually.
Yeah, I would.
I would love to have a cup overflowing with fucking fornication.
I'll tell you what, my cup, it doesn't overflow. I'm just saying it's half empty, you know?
I think there's a hole in the bottom of my cup.
I'll have another cup. I finished all my fornication. Can I have another cup?
I like my fornication like I like my coffee. Black.
Would you like some more fornication? Maybe all 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, no, I gotta let this settle.
I just had a little fornication. I kind of ought to get it, tamped down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying no. I just want to be clear.
Here, just leave the menu. Come back in a few minutes.
She was drunk with the blood of the saints. So remember, they come together, friends. Now, I'm not saying that this is the final and ultimate application of Revelation 17. I believe it's something of an application we can draw.
Here's a guy who thinks Revelations is a real thing, folks.
Yeah, that's...
Here's a guy who's looking at fucking verses of Revelation and saying, oh, fuck, that's a real thing that we need to be afraid of.
And he's talking about, like, how to interpret it into the modern day world to match his fucking worldview. Like, that's... He's not just deciding this is a bunch of fucking historical jibber jab.
Why? Because these powerful forces, these harlots that ride on beasts.
What are you talking about? Harlots that ride on beasts.
He's talking about the Hell's Angels.
Dude, I'm interested. I guess is what I'm saying.
Harlots that ride on beasts.
I'm actually going to fucking, I'm buying that website. Harlotsthatrideonbeasts.com.
I'm renaming my penis the Beast. Somebody's got to start
that
website.
That would be amazing. It should be full of just like,
and it should just be pornographic pictures of women on different beasts,
right? Like, here's a fucking naked woman on a pig. Like, okay, again, I'm not saying no.
Or a bunch of women tailing, like we mentioned earlier,
that have such incredible power over the governments of men tend to embrace abominations and fornications, and on the other hand, are drunk with the blood of the saints.
None of that means anything. It literally means nothing. You are saying nothing. You are just, he is reading from a book and saying that that's fucking nothing, dude. Blood of the saints? What the fuck are you talking? Is that a kind of candy bar? What is that?
I'm actually really curious about this in practical terms, because don't you have to be dead to be made a saint?
It's like a fucking nightclub drink. Hey, can I get a blood of the saints? Is there any way I can get...
Don't you have
That'll
to, like...
That'll be $26. We only make those top shelf blood of the saints.
Fine. I am the harlot who rides on beasts, after all.
Come on, can't you put some cheap vodka in there?
They love to persecute Christians and They love their sexual decadence at the same time. So this is the very essence of the most evil forces that have ever existed in the history of the world, as recorded in Revelation 17. So please understand that Nero is never content just to do his homo thing. He's got to torch Christians in his gardens.
That is the dumbest thing we've ever listened
to. That is really...
That is the dumbest thing I've ever... I'm fucking stupider having listened to that.
And I agree.
What a dipshit.
God. That was 3.5 minutes of fucking nothing.
Can you believe that?
Nothing. That was amazing.
That's just somebody who is reading an old book and vaguely making references to nowadays.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird and crazy that there are actual people who walk around and can operate microphones and presumably like vehicles and think like this.
That dude's got an audience, man.
Do you think his audience is bigger than our audience?
That dude, I don't know, but that dude's got an audience. That guy has people who listen to him. He's on a little hate-filled station, and he broadcasts probably every day.
WHAT. Hate. That's actually just what. Yeah. God damn it, I bought the wrong call sign.
Everybody just listens and goes, what?
What? It's actually appropriate in every direction.
They say that I make the contention that gays caused the Holocaust. This is wrong. I've been very clear in my writings and everything I've said that the Nazi Party is responsible for the Holocaust. But how did the Nazi Party come into being? The Nazi Party, ladies and gentlemen, was formed in a gay bar in Munich. And historians agree that Hitler's earliest enforcers, the stormtroopers, the brown shirts, were almost without exception homosexuals. So it was homosexual thugs that helped Hitler to form the Nazi Party. In other words, no homosexual thugs, no homosexual brown shirts, no homosexual stormtroopers, no Nazi Party.
So this story is also from Right Wing Watch. Brian Fisher, if you're going to take down the Confederate flag, you should also remove the rainbow flag of the gay Reich.
Gay Reich. That's awesome.
Yeah. Immediately, my thought is like, well, I guess maybe when one flies over a state capital, we can have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to what Brian Fisher had to say on his show, his radio program. When talking about the Confederate flag, this is Brian Fisher from his show.
If we are going to remove symbols of oppression from our culture, if we come to the point where we say, hey, any flag that represents bigotry, any flag that represents hatred, any flag that represents slavery or oppression needs to be removed, then I want to suggest to you that the next flag to go ought to be the rainbow flag of the gay Reich. The rainbow flag represents the homosexual lobby. It represents big gay.
How do you know how big it is?
Big gay. That's like a gay bear bar, isn't it?
Big gay.
Big gay. Hey, big gay, how you doing, buddy?
He's been watching the South Park movie, man. He thinks big gay Al.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Jeez, it represents big gay.
Big gay.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you said that. You actually could have said anything that sounded more fucking stupid unless you turned into that fucking Kevin Swanson guy.
Big gay.
Big That's gay. Amazing.
It represents what I'm calling for the first time today. I'm introducing a new term. The gay Reich. They've got a flag, just like the Nazis had their flag.
Well, thanks for that.
Man, oh, good. He introduced
a
new term.
That seems like an appropriate term.
Yeah, awesome, Shakespeare. Let me know when that one fucking makes it into the fucking literary canon.
It's going to go into the lexicon real soon.
Again, I'm not saying that they're Nazis. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Nazis had a flag. The Confederates have a flag. The United States has a flag. And the gay lobby, big gay, the gay Gestapo, they've got a flag.
I'm not saying they're Nazis.
I'm not saying that they're Nazis, but I'm using other terms to say that they're horrible.
Yeah, I'm using other
to
terms
to compare them to horrible
conflate
things.
Conflate them to Nazis. So, yeah, I'm not saying that they're Nazis, but the SS Big Gay Fucking Strike Force will begin their blitzkrieg at any moment.
Yeah, when they use the blitzkrieg, though, they use a lot of lube. There's just a lot of lube.
In a few minutes, he's going to attack. He's going to insinuate that they attack fucking Russia. You know, like,
I love that he's saying Gestapo and Gestapo. That's German. That's Nazi German.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany. Yeah. Okay. All right. You said it, though.
And it's the rainbow flag. And I'm suggesting to you that that flag is a symbol of slavery and oppression and bigotry and prejudice and bias.
Because I'm making it up right now.
Yes. That's the thing.
Because
I'm
saying it. And there's no fact and there's no basis in truth whatsoever to that.
So if we're going to go after symbols of oppression, we ought to make the rainbow flag the next target for removal in our culture.
What a fucking fool.
Golly. It's nobody believes this shit, though. That's the thing is, here's what I think. Like, when you say, like, these guys have an audience, they do. They have an audience. But their audience is similar to ours, Cecil, in that it's, like, his show is a preaching to the choir show, too. Like, he's not going to, nobody's going to come to Brian Fisher fucking undecided about something.
That's true.
And then walk away convinced. You know?
Yeah, you're never going to be walking away convinced of Big Gay if you didn't believe in Big Gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if maybe you weren't just a little turned on by Big Gay. The bigger, the better.
The bigger.
As it turns out.
I love the big gay bearded ones. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, this shorter episode of Cognitive Dissonance. We'll be back on Monday with another full episode. And we will leave you, as we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.